and welcome to another episode of Cinema Oblivia, your podcast for discussions on weird, old, and sometimes drastically unliked films. As usual, I'm your host, James Eldred, who's back today. Time to talk. Yes, you.
Whoa, it's me, Madeline. Here I
Madeline,
am.
Madeline.
I like that drastically unliked. Are you like in a stretch right now where it's all movies everyone hates from the 90s?
Well, it's a kind of. I mean, well, because like last episode was kind of a last minute thing, because like I said last time, I watched Batman and Robin and had so many feelings that
yeah,
I had
that you needed to record
that were against the grain that I needed to record. And then we did two double features in a row of 1970s and early 80s of plane disaster TV movies.
Turbulence 3 in there?
Is that a TV movie?
Oh, wait, no.
No.
Was Turbulence 3 made for...
I do want to see Turbulence 3, because that's the death metal one, right?
The one with a band on a plane, yeah.
Yes, exactly. But yeah. this was all 1970s stuff. And then it was The Last Stand, the Arnold Schwarzenegger film that I really like, that no one else liked. Mm-hmm. So I think the last time I've actually had like a good movie on here, is today. Before today, The Italian Connection, which was back in December.
You can't really compare today's movie to The Italian Connection, actually.
What is today's movie, Madeline?
Today's movie is a 1998 sequel to a major blockbuster. Yes. It is a movie that falls into what I think are the three best genres, horror, science fiction, and erotica. Yes. It is Species 2.
Species 2. And you chose this, and we'll get to that. But first, I haven't talked to you in a while, and I think you had the film festival again.
I did. Yeah, we had the Unnamed Footage Festival a few weeks back. Yeah.
So give me some highlights from that. I'm curious.
Oh, gosh. Well, we world premiered Horror in the High Desert 3, which have you seen the Horror in the High Desert films?
No, I know.
I think you would really like Horror in the High Desert.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is scary. It is kind of... it poses like a true crime documentary.
Okay.
About a young gay man who I think he's gay. I know the filmmaker is gay. It's a gay movie.
Is this the same guy who made that movie you like, Outland? Mm-mm. No.
That's also gay found footage horror. I think the gays are making the best found footage horror right now.
I'm glad we can do that.
Yeah. We premiered Horror in the High Desert 3, which was probably like our biggest title. We showed this movie called Blue Whale that's like a Russian screen life film that no one's seen for like years.
Okay.
It was a great time. We had a ton of talent. We showed Frogman. The guys from Frogman came out. It was our best attendance ever. It's great. Like we increased in attendance per movie by about 20 since last year. And it was just like truly incredible.
Cool.
Like the festival has really grown into what was like a crazy little DIY thing that me and a few friends did into this like fully formed beast. And so, anyone who is listening who is or wants to be in San Francisco at the end of March next year, come out to the Unnamed Footage Festival because it is a unique and incredible thing.
Well, if you ever launch a Tokyo satellite festival, I'll go. But otherwise, I'm
hell yeah. Yes. We'll make it global. We're going to be everywhere one day.
Yeah.
We're taking over.
you've probably watched better films than I have recently. Although I did see a few good movies. I saw Mute Witness.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Mute Witness rules.
Yeah, and I've never seen it before because it's out of print forever. And that's on Shudder now, and it's getting a new disc release. And it was way more fun than I thought it would be. Because I knew it was about snuff. But it's for a snuff film. It's pretty for a movie about snuff. It's pretty wacky. It's very, it's very De Palma.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the two other ones, I watched a lot of stuff recently. The boyfriend and I are going through a Bronson kick again. So we watched Cold Sweat, which is a really good one. And a 1950s movie. Cold Sweat's not great.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
It's relatively unknown. It has Jill Ireland in it because most of his films do. Because they were married. And it has Luigi Pastilli, who's in a lot of Italian poliziotechi and spaghetti westerns. And in that one, he plays like a former, like a ex-con whose past comes back to haunt him type thing. And we also watched Crime Wave, which is a 1950s like movie, and it's so old. He's Charles, it's his real last name. I forgot his real last name, like Baczynski or whatever. And that has Sterling Hayden in it and playing the dickest cop ever. Like, you just fucking hate the guy and he's the hero, but it was still a good movie. But recently I've been diving into straight to video crap, and we've been going through Phantasm. We watched Phantasm 2 and 3.
Phantasm 2 is pretty good.
Phantasm 2 was good. I liked 3 more because it was more it made less sense.
I mean, it definitely makes less sense. Phantasm 3 is all over the place.
And I like the African American woman with the dope haircut. Although I don't like how Reggie keeps trying to have sex with her. I think that's gross. Dude, calm down. I thought you were cool, Reggie.
I never saw 4.
Well, I'm going to see 4 this Thursday, so I'll report back to you. And then we're gonna finish it. We're going to go all in. We're going to see 5. We're gonna go take it to the end. And also, my friend and I have been watching the Kickboxer films.
I've seen at least
Kickboxer
one of them.
Kickboxer 1 has Jean-Claude Van Damme. And Kickboxer 2, 3, and 4 have the dude who played Cody on Step by Step.
I think it's the first one. I'm pretty sure it's the first one.
Yeah, yeah. But Step Boxer. Patrick Duffy and Suzanne Summers kickboxing. No, Kickboxer 2 has someone who's in the film, who's in Species 2, and it has Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa from Mortal Kombat. And it's a great cast and a bad film. Kickboxer 3 is the one where they say, fuck it, give them guns and have them kill people. And make it
defeats
about
the purpose of kickboxing.
Has them fight a child prostitution ring. So I don't know what's going on. It got stupider, so it's more entertaining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we're going to watch 4, and then 5 has Mark Dacascos in it. So that's like a real person who can actually do martial arts. I'm excited to watch that. More I want to mention really quick, because nobody's seen this movie, and I want people to see it because I want a podcast about it. As of right now on Letterboxd, it has, including me, 5 ratings.
Whoa.
It is called Crackdown: Big City Blues.
Okay.
It was made in the late 80s, early 90s. It was not released until 2018. It is like a zero budget take on the same material that is New Jack City.
What is this?
It is intense, and it's not found footage, but a lot of it is just news, like fake news footage, and a lot of it really.
How does something come out like this without anyone knowing?
Yeah,
about it?
No,
like,
one noticed it, and it's
incredible.
I feel bad making fun of it because it was obviously made from the heart of somebody who really fucking hated drugs. Like, had very strong feelings on how drugs are destroying African American communities. But the delivery is so didactic. Like, there are scenes where they're just talking to the camera, and The most of the scenes have one angle, no coverage, you know, like very, very stagey. But it also, for a movie that's anti-drug and anti-drug dealer, doesn't really understand how those things work. But when it kind of accidentally falls into something amazing, and it has like this one extended breakdancing number for no reason. That's really good. And it was fascinating. I'm going to podcast about it eventually. I ordered the Blu-ray. It's on Amazon Prime. You can pay to rent it. It's probably someplace else too. I can't recommend it enough for a film that no one has seen. Like, no one has seen.
Have you ever heard of a movie called Desperation Rising?
No, I have not.
You should look this up. It's also like incredibly low budget.
Mm-hmm.
Like one guy like made it as like his passion thing. Has kind of a similar take on like drugs and I just found my summary of
it. Yeah, I see it too. Yes.
Yeah. Like an experimental video artist decided to make an 80s action movie, but on his way to set, he fell down a flight of stairs. That's my description of this film.
Okay, cool. I'll have to look into that. That sounds, this looks interesting too. And I like
films. But as you were talking, I'm like, this is reminding me of something. It's Desperation Rising. You should look it up. Yeah.
And it's very anti-drug, but in a way that I think most people can agree with, like, you don't do crack. And don't do crack. Crack is bad for you. It doesn't really tackle a lot of like the CIA and government stuff. I don't think that was really well known at the time. But it's really interesting. And Some of the dialogue's hilarious. Like you really get the idea that he is just repeating what people told him as straw man arguments in the film. Because there's one person who says, like, there's a white person in a room talking with him about drugs, and he's like, "Wait a second, this is a black problem. White people don't do drugs." Yeah, and I was watching that with my friend who has definitely done, and it was just, we would die.
I'm gonna say white people don't get arrested as frequently for drugs, because white people aren't policed as aggressively. Yeah, so
that's the part of the film that it kind of fails on. It doesn't really mention that aspect. But it is really good.
This movie is not woke. That is what I'm hearing.
It's not woke, but it is very it is heartfelt, and I really liked it. Yeah. I also watched.
At least he's trying.
Yeah, he's trying. I also watched Symptoms. It's a 1974 film with Angela Pleasance, Donald's daughter. Kind of like a lesbian themed psychodrama. Really weird. Really, really weird. Really, I recommend that one. I think it's a little hard to find. It was funny. I just learned about it. I added it to my watch list, and then I was in a CD store in the middle of fucking nowhere outside of Tokyo, and they had an import copy of it on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's random.
Oh, I want to watch this. This sounds amazing.
It's really good, and she's creepy as fuck. And it's it's really Symptoms. Unfortunate that you look at Angela Pleasance and you're like, yeah, that's Donald Pleasance's daughter. Like, I feel bad for saying it because she looks like her dad. Which is, you know, oh well. But anyway,
hey, genetics.
Speaking of genetics, Madeline, Species 2.
Yes.
We were going back and forth on stuff, and I wanted something fun. Because I keep wanting to talk to you about American Gothic at some point, because that's a fucked up movie. Mm-hmm. And I really want to talk.
American Gothic is kind of a bummer. And I feel like both of us were not feeling great, like, recently.
Yes.
So.
And, yeah. So, but you're like Species 2. So, you're the first person who has ever said the phrase Species 2 to me. You mentioned, like, in any capacity. So, why did you want to talk about Species 2?
Well, I do think it is unfairly maligned.
Okay.
I think it is a very weird movie. Again, Species Prime, as I like to call it, the original Species.
Alpha.
So, Species Alpha. I like that. Species Alpha comes out in like 95, right at the peak of like 90s erotic cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Like Basic Instinct is out. Like, and so Species was kind of like an unexpected hit. And it also was like this incredible cast of people, all of whom had not yet like reached their like their highest fame level.
So, or like, Ben Kingsley, who has been going downhill since Gandhi.
Honestly, truth. Poor guy. Still love him, though.
But... Sexy Beast, good movie.
Masterpiece of a film.
Okay.
Big Jonathan Glazer fan over here.
Okay.
Species is, like, huge. Like, it made, like, almost $100 million at the box office. It was just this, like, massive surprise, like, sci-fi erotic, like, hit. And so, of course, they're going to do a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So they make the sequel that, I mean, it's like a very obvious sequel. like the way the plot works and all that. It's like they pick up where it ends, but like fast forward 10 years and it they just bring so many horror elements in. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little bit of satire in it. And like all of that,
a little bit.
Unique.
Yeah.
A little bit. I think you said something along the lines of like, there was probably an earlier draft of the script that went a lot harder on the satire.
Yeah,
and I agree
and
with
you
that.
You can tell. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think that people expected it to be something else. And the thing that it was on its way out of fashion.
Perhaps,
when it came
yeah.
out. And the effects are fucking crazy. Like, this is one of the best effects movies out there, in my opinion.
Yeah,
even,
it has.
I mean, I guess from the point at which CGI was starting to, like, break through.
It has, just like Species 1, it has a combination of fantastic practical effects and really hinky
really
CG.
Bad.
Really bad CG.
Bad CGI.
And before I forget, I do want to mention, so Species 2, just like Species, it's about boning. Alien sex, and not always very rarely of consent. So we're gonna be talking about alien themed sexual assault, and
yes this is not a movie that has a lot of SA in it.
a lot of sexual assault and rape, and so, but it's about aliens and it looks ridiculous, so I will probably be making some inappropriate comments about that part in particular. Do not take that I take all that stuff lightly. And if you're looking for a nuanced discussion on this, you're not going to get it. It's it's not like Running Scared when we had to cover some serious topics in a more serious way.
Yeah, where we got like somber for a hot minute to just the children.
There's children snuff films. This doesn't have that.
This movie is so goofy. It's so over the top. Mm-hmm. It's just so crazy that it's hard to take it seriously.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that we both like genre, but I go more horror than you do. And so I thought Species 2 might be like the perfect in-between of like batshit crazy effects and like lost 90s.
I mean, it is definitely the horror that's up my alley that it's not scary. So,
yes, it is definitely not scary.
I saw Species 1 in the theater when it came out with my dad, because of course. And I recall us bringing my friend. That's 1995. I was 16. Brought one of my friends who was a 13-year-old girl.
Oh boy.
who I'm still friends with. I think it was awkward for my dad. My dad did not get awkwarded easily by films, but I think taking a 13-year-old girl to see Species might have done it. But
it is a sexy movie.
This is Natasha.
Yeah, in a way that this one isn't, despite the fact that the tagline of Species 2 is "Mating season begins."
Oh, has it ever? So Species 1, in case people don't know, sexy alien. Natasha Henstridge, is that how you say her last name? I can never know how to say her last name. Henstridge.
Natasha Henstridge. Henstridge.
Plays an alien that's named Syl, goes on the rampage trying to find a mate, and if it mates, it will create alien babies that can take over the world, basically. And they found that the alien DNA from space that was sent to us from a signal picked up by SETI, the whole thing. Silly film, has Forest Whitaker, Michael Madsen, Ben Kingsley, Marge Heldenberger, Natasha Henstridge, as we said. Classy flick. So, makes a ton of money, and they're like, let's do Species 2. They apparently decided to make this while Species was still in theaters. Like the second week Species was out, they were like, I got an idea, and they wanted to continue making it. Oh, also, I forgot Alfred Molina's in that movie.
I mean, he's one of the their team. Like Alfred Molina, Ben Kingsley, Michael Madsen, and Marg are kind of like the team.
Yes. And Alfred Molina is the stupidest one.
Yes.
Considering he's sticking with the wrong head in that movie.
Yes, thinking with his dick.
Yep. And it gets bitten off.
I said it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you were right. So Species One was directed by somebody named Roger Donaldson, who also
directed. Did he do anything else?
He directed the terrible remake of The Getaway.
Okay.
He directed Dante's Peak. He directed. He did do Cocktail. Probably his most well known films are most well regarded films are probably No Way Out, Dante's Peak, 13 Days. Oh, he made a movie I love, which is the opposite of Species, The World's Fastest Indian.
Yes.
Which is an adorable film. Like, if you just want to be hugged for 2 hours, watch The World's Fastest Indian. It is a charming film. And he made a film I want to see called The Bank Job because it has Jason Statham in it, and I watch anything he's in.
Yes.
So, there's that. But he didn't come back for this one. Instead, they got Peter Medak.
Yes. Who is a horror guy.
He's a horror guy, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess I associate him with The Changeling. Like, that is, like, why I know him.
Changeling's a great film.
Yeah. But he did a lot of films. Like, both of these directors were, you know, people who were working.
Yeah, and especially this guy, because he just does movies and TV back-to-back all the time. Like, this is his last theatrical film, I believe. I wonder why. But he don't feel bad for him. Like, he directed House, The Wire, Breaking Bad, Hannibal, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So he was moving around. He also directed, speaking of horror films, Zorro the Gay Blade. Not a horror film.
Not at all.
Not a horror. unless you find George Hamilton's skin terrifying, and I kind of do. But yeah, he's kind of all over the place. Definitely a working director. I don't really see a style in his films other than The Changeling, which is so far removed from this film. And I thought it was interesting that the writer of this is a guy named Chris Brancato, who wrote an X-Files episode called Eve, which is where the band Eve 6 got their name.
I know that. Yeah, I know that episode. And also, I recently went to an Eve 6 concert.
I recall this. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I loved the X-Files.
So I love the X-Files, and I Eve 6 is a band that exists. I will agree.
This is a true statement.
This is a true statement. You can do worse. There are worse name and number 90s rock bands. Early 2000s rock bands, yes.
Yeah, stuff that always sounds like an AOL screen name, you know? Yes. Like, that's the,
I never thought about it that way, but yes, you are correct. And I really wanted, this is produced, this whole thing is the baby of Frank Mancuso Jr.
Our Friday the 13th friend.
So how is he related to Friday the 13th?
I mean, he was like the producer who turned Friday the 13th into a franchise, right?
Yeah, because
like he was kind of the one who ran with it. Like he wasn't as creatively involved as he was, like in terms of like marketing, selling, and making it into a very, very profitable IP.
Yeah, he was the one who took it around from 2 to 5, really.
Yeah,
and apparently he's involved with 7, but not credited.
Yeah,
he is like this is like he's the reason why we have 4 of those movies in 5 years.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, and he also, gosh, now I'm looking at his. Wow, he's got a lot of movies.
Yeah.
He also produced Species.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you're forgetting Cool World.
Oh my God, Cool World! How can I forget Cool World?
no matter how much I try to forget, I can't forget Cool World.
Yes,
what a piece of fucking shit.
And Body Parts, which I just hosted a 35mm print of at the Alamo Draft House, and went a little nuts talking about Eric Red. Where Eric Red is a real fascinating. Criminal.
Oh no!
If you ever want to do an episode of an Eric Red movie, you hit me up because
we'll talk after this. I'm curious.
All right, good.
But Frank Mancuso, the same year he made Species, he produced Ronin, so he had a good year. it evens out, I would say. And there was one other person I thought was somebody on here. Vicky Williams ended up being the producer of CSI New York, which makes sense because like half the people in this movie were in CSI at some point.
We're on that show. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And the executive producer wrote The Original Species. And I just thought it was funny. He also wrote Just One of the Guys, which is a great movie, and Virus, which yes. feels like a forgot, like he wrote both of yeah. those the same weekend.
Virus is in the same world, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I believe Virus is based on a comic book.
Yeah.
And Virus always reminds me of System Shock, the video game. Because it's like...
I like that game. That game's cool. I mean,
that game scared the shit out of me. I remember the space zombie saying, like, your flesh betrays you. And like, okay, I want to go play Mario. So, interesting behind the scenes people. I would say, you know,
especially because it like feels like a lot of like, you know, for hire individuals.
It really does. Like they like the composer, Edward Schirmer, who is just like has really big. We couldn't get Jerry Goldsmith energy. Like,
yes. I mean,
and if you look at his work, it's always like B+ to A- movies, like. Miss Congeniality, which is, I'm sure I haven't seen that people love it, but like,
oh, I watched that like 2 weeks ago. I double featured it with Drop Dead Gorgeous, and Drop Dead Gorgeous really, really overshadows Miss Congeniality.
Drop Dead Gorgeous is, I just watched that I watched that on a plane and I was dying, but
wonderful movie.
But like, he composed films like I love, like, no one else loves it, but I love Sky Captain in the Water Tomorrow. but he also did like, you know, Jacob the Liar or Demon Knight. Great movie, but people remember that for the soundtrack, not the score. It has Megadeth. We'll just like these people. You hire someone, they're reliable. Reliable people. Matthew Leonetti, the cinematographer on Poltergeist, also and Strange Days. Also the Three Stooges movie and Hall Pass. So again,
it's funny, like this very much is a this guy works like this is his job, mm-hmm. and he's getting hired for jobs. But at the same time, that is a list of bangers.
Yeah. I mean,
the cinematographer has like is clearly good at his job.
And three movies. I really want to name a few movies really quick because he did Poltergeist and Commando, which everybody knows those movies because they're great in different ways. But he made four films, Dead Again, Strange Days, Too Fast, mm-hmm. Too Furious, and Dawn of the Dead. And now those are varying quality, but all of them look amazing.
Yeah.
Dead Again is an amazing film and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So Too Fast, Too Furious is all the neon, like all the time. I love that movie.
It's the first one that people really remember. They don't really remember the Fast and the Furious movie. They start with two. That's like
I always when I sold my boyfriend the series, I started with three because
that is also a good choice.
It's really
start
stupid.
Right with Tokyo Drift,
and we're in Tokyo, and I was just like, if this is too stupid for you, then we can't. We'll stop here because this is at the time it was as stupid as it got. It got stupider.
Yeah.
Part 10 sucks shit. I want to talk about the cast kind of with the film. I think it's a little easier that way as we go through the movie. So I think we should talk about the movie now. And spoilers, this is on Max for free. Well, not for free, but on Max.
I think the whole franchise is, and that is recent because I watched this movie last year and I had to rent it. So 1, 2, and 3. I don't know about 4 or 5, but 1, 2, and 3 are definitely on
there's
Max.
There's no 5.
I'm pretty sure that there is. I've decided there's a
Madeline's,
5.
Madeline's a species 5.
In my head, there's a 5.
There's no 5. I'm sorry.
Damn. It felt like there was.
There is.
No. It's 4. 4 is the 4. Awakening.
The Awakening, yes. The reboot. Have you seen 3 and 4?
No, I have not.
No,
I've only
me
seen
neither.
One.
I wanted to, but I had too much going on before this. So I've heard nothing but terrible things. So
Same. Yeah.
I'm already going through Kickboxer. I can't do both.
it's too much.
So I think this movie opens when And I was immediately reminded of the late 90s Marston movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it opens with them, like Missing to Mars and Red Planet.
Oh, yeah. Like, that was a... God, I saw Mission to Mars in theaters.
Wow.
And I remember it, like, vividly, honestly. Mostly because I laughed a lot at inappropriate times.
I heard about that film. I saw Red Planet... Not in theaters, because no one did. And the only things I remember about that movie is at the end when, I believe it's Val Kilmer, takes off his helmet and gives the camera the finger and says, fuck this planet.
oh, boy.
And this kind of opens...
Doesn't someone's head explode in Mission to Mars, too? Like, he takes his helmet off? I think it's Gary Sinise, right?
I've never seen it. Spoiler.
Oh, no. We gotta watch it. It was my first De Palma, I guess.
Oh, that, I always forget that's De Palma because it's not.
I know, I mean, because it's very bad. I mean, De Palma didn't make many good movies recently, but
yes, it's no body double. It's no body double.
Yeah, no, I mean, like after a certain year, De Palma stops making good movies. Prior to that year, it's all bangers.
Imagine if good De Palma made Species 2.
I wish. Honestly, that would be so good. It would be horny, but in a way that was like not stupid.
Well, it'd be a more entertaining stupid. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It would definitely. De Palma would be a great pairing for Species.
But this opens in a really weird way because one of the very first shots is hilarious. Mm-hmm.
It is their spaceship landing on Mars. So this movie opens with man landing on Mars for the first time. Yes. And it's the U.S. And they're just walking right onto it and putting the U.S. flag right in the soil.
Yeah, but the spaceship has corporate sponsors.
Yes.
Which I feel
like
is
NASCAR
played
and yeah.
Pepsi. Mm-hmm. And I feel it's played as a joke. But like the movie doesn't keep that tone.
Yeah, there are like little bits and pieces of political satire throughout, mm-hmm. And there's some very funny dialogue, but it is almost like the people making the movie didn't realize it was funny.
Yeah.
So it kind of gets drowned. Mm-hmm.
We get our astronaut. It's a three-person mission. Two of them stay in the shuttle. One of them goes to Mars. The man who goes to Mars is Patrick, I think Ross. He's played by Justin Lazard, who did not do much. He probably his biggest role outside of this is Mammy Vice. Is it Mammy Vice? And mm-hmm. he was in Universal Soldier: The Return.
Yeah, which that's kind of a banger.
Yes, I heard those were good. I want to watch that. He retired from acting in 2000. Was arrested for indecent exposure in 2006.
Oh God!
Apparently, he had some issues. He seems kept his nose clean since. So
yeah, good for him.
I think he had some substance abuse problems and some mental health problems, but he seems to be doing okay now. So I don't want to. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. So in this movie, he is playing a former football player turned astronaut, son of a U.S. politician.
Yes.
Tracking to become a senator.
Yes. And I am sorry. But
first man on Mars.
Patrick Lazard looks like a model. He does not look like a football player.
No, he does not at all.
No. Yeah. He is
too clean. Too pretty.
Tiny, yeah. Like even someone who's quote unquote pretty, like Tom Brady, like he's jacked. He's jacked.
Yeah.
Patrick Lazard is not jacked. He is a model.
No.
And
honestly,
so,
he looks like a serial killer, and he
does,
kind of plays one.
Yes.
So.
Well, you know, it looks good. You know, good casting. But a lot of this stuff about this part I find hilarious. So he has that funny speech, like "Not for one nation, not for one people," and you gotta wonder if this meathead like had a PR team helping him make the speech or whatever.
Definitely did,
because he's a fucking idiot. And then it cuts to the newsroom, and people are in bars like cheering it. Do you think people would care if we went to Mars?
I do. I just don't think it would be broadcast live on Twitch like it was in this movie.
Okay.
Like, it seemed like everyone was just watching like live feed of a camera on a tripod on Mars. And I don't think that's realistic.
I don't know. And it has the newscaster saying he's a perfect hero for these imperfect times. And I was like, dude, it's 1998. fuck you. Everything's fine.
It was like a bunch of like white t-shirt clad, like big boobed girls in sports bras with their like buff dudes. And they were all cheering like they were watching sports.
But like, but my point is like, maybe at the time things felt bad, but I don't think they did. And man, if you think 1998 was bad, I got bad fucking news.
guess what's coming?
So also in the spaceship, we have his two other astronauts. There is Anne Sampis, played by Miriam Sear. She was in Gothic, which is a great movie by Ken Russell.
Yeah.
And in two other films that are Frankenstein related, which is Frankenstein Unbound and Frankenstein and Me, which is kind of strange. She has a 2006 era website that I highly recommend checking out that has not been updated since then. And also joining her as with the other astronaut, Gamble, that is McKelty? Is that how you say his first name?
McKelty.
McKelty Williamson. Bubba from Forrest Gump and Don King and Ali playing a character that is problematic. And
the character is problematic, but I will also say that he brings most of the life to this movie.
Oh, he's great with what he has. He definitely, you know, some people in this film, Michael Madsen, feel like they're kind of sleepwalking through it. But I feel like McKelty Williams...
He's having a good time. Yeah.
And his A game. Also bringing the A game, Peter Boyle, who is
showing up,
who is in a mental asylum watching this Martian landing and screaming, "I told them not to go."
I'm pretty sure uncredited.
Uncredited.
Uncredited in a straitjacket, in a padded movie-esque mental asylum, screaming, "Don't go to Mars!"
Now, this is not the worst film I've seen Peter Boyle in this month, because I watched Kickboxer 2, and he's in Kickboxer 2. So I don't know if he just needed money, or if someone was calling in favors, or this is after Everybody Loves Raymond. This is, Kickboxer 2 isn't. So you have to imagine he was getting that TV money.
I mean, and I also think like uncredited drop-ins were pretty popular at this point, right?
I guess so. That is not
Mission Impossible is 96.
Okay.
And Mission Impossible is like the peak uncredited like appearance with Emilio Estevez, who was a bigger star than literally everyone in the movie,
except
showing
Tom Cruise
up at the beginning.
No,
he was a bigger star than Tom Cruise, I think, when that movie came out.
He was not in Top Gun.
Yeah, truth. Okay, maybe I'm off by a few years.
I like Men at Work more than Top Gun, but I think most people would disagree with me.
Maybe my timing's a little off, but it was kind of popular to do that.
Yeah.
So I think it's hilarious that the two like names that pop up are Peter Boyle and I'll leave the other for you to reveal.
Oh, the President of the United States?
The President of the United States.
We'll get there in 1 second. But so he goes to Mars, drills some sand, and apparently there's alien goop in the sand. And I don't know if they just have really bad luck or if the entirety of Mars is covered in
Mars
alien
is goop.
Mars is goop.
Mars is pure goop.
Yes. He doesn't see the goop. Gets back on the main ship. They get a message from the president, who is played by Richard Belzer, I'm watching this with my boyfriend, who does not know who Richard Belzer is, because why the fuck would he? And he's never seen Homicide. It just cuts to Richard Belzer, and I just scream. I'm like, what is going on?
That was also how I reacted the first time I saw this.
And I know that if I watch this movie in 20 years, I'll forget Richard Belzer's in it. And then I'll go, what
the freak out again.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very brief appearance. Yeah. He's on screen for 30 seconds at most. Like,
less than that. No jokes either. It's just Richard Belzer as the president.
It's great.
And was Munch ever in Munch was never in CSI. So there's no connection there. No, he was in Law and Order stuff.
No, he's Law and Order.
Law and Order. Yeah. So no CSI connection there. So then after the president message, there's a loving close up of this alien goop that looks like like mossy snot.
Yeah, it looks like CGI.
Yeah, I mean, not all of it is. Some of it, like, I think some of it is like reversed footage. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I guess when it's like squiggling up to them.
Oh, yeah, it's CGI.
It looks very computer.
It jumps at them. You don't see what happens. It cut. They lose contact for like 4 minutes. Then they wake up and they don't remember anything.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. And then apparently 180 days later, because that's...
That's how long it takes to get back from Mars.
It takes a long time. It's like, it's not a, it's not a,
that actually seems brief. Like, that doesn't seem...
That's what they say in the movie. I think it was day 185 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember from that Matt Damon film when they had decided, the Martian, when they had decided to go back and get him, it adds 3 years to the trip.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not an easy task, so... But we're treated like there's no time has passed, and we cut to naked.
Oh, we're talking about when we get to see Eve for the first time.
Eve.
In her strappy blue sex chair.
Hey, so we give Natasha clothes this time? No.
No,
because that's not why anyone wants to see her.
Yeah, she's in her strappy blue sex chair, which is a machine they use to torture her while men watch from behind a window that is a one-way mirror so that she can never experience any men.
Yes, including that colonel that I think it would be okay for her to experience. I don't think it would do anything.
No, I don't think so either.
Really quick, that colonel, that actor plays the colonel is George Zunza.
Yeah.
He's in Massage Parlor Murders.
Whoa.
Which is one of the worst.
What is that even?
Oh, it is one of the worst films ever made. It was my first Vinegar Syndrome release, and it soured me on the label for like a year. One of the worst movies ever made. You should watch it. Anyway. It has the girl from Last House on the Left in it. The main girl. I forgot her name, but she's in that movie too. It's a soft club.
Yeah.
Super sleazy. But yeah, Eve is played by Natasha Henstridge.
Eve is a clone of Syl. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Eve is a clone of Syl. Syl's an alien. Is Natasha the second most famous Natasha or third most famous Natasha?
I mean, I think third.
So Natasha Kinski. Yeah, I mean Natasha Lyonne's number one.
Yeah.
In my heart too, because I love Natasha Lyonne.
And let me think. Natasha of War and Peace.
Okay.
Natasha Richardson.
I feel like Natasha Hentress's career started with a lot of juice from Species.
Yeah.
And it burned out almost immediately.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really, like, I can't really think of
the whole nine yards. The whole nine yards.
Oh, God.
And the sequel.
That was the first rated R movie I think I ever saw in a theater.
Wow. The first rated R movie I saw in a theater was Predator.
Yeah,
I was 9.
I was 13 or 12.
Yeah, because that movie has Full Frontal in it with Amanda Pete, just naked.
Yes. Yes, Amanda's Pete's.
Yes, they are. And then, but this is not her worst film because she's in Ghost of Mars. This is not her worst film.
I hate Ghost of Mars.
Yeah, it's abhorrently awful.
So it's not her worst film, and not her only Mars film. Not her first, her second. It's her first Mars film.
Yes.
Her second Mars film is Ghost of Mars.
Yes, which is Ghost of Mars. Yeah,
horrible.
I got into an argument with somebody because I think now Ghost of Mars is horrible, but I honestly think that his remake of Village of the Damned is worse because
I haven't seen it.
Because in Ghost of Mars is horrible, but he's trying. He's failing, but he's trying. When you watch Village of the Damned, John Carpenter does not give a fuck. That is a paycheck. No one is trying. Christopher Reeve is not trying. Kirstie Alley is not trying. Michael Parr is there for 5 seconds. He's not trying. That movie is... Oh, man. I'm glad John Carpenter retired, and they can just be happy now. So
He can play music and have fun and not have to make
and play
bad
video
movies
games and talk about basketball. Yeah. So... Torturing Eve for science is Dr. Laura, not that Dr. Laura. I forgot her last name in the movie.
Yeah, but it's Marg.
Yeah, Dr. Laura Marg Heldenberger.
Yes, of CSI.
Of CSI, returning from the first film. Also of, to tell you how out of date my TV references are, when I see her, I think China Beach.
Oh, wow.
Which was
haven't
a dope.
Even seen it.
I mean, yeah. It's before both of our times, but I watched it. That show's great. Watch China Beach. That's a good show. She was also on 30-something and like Ryan's Hope and shit. But mostly now CSI. She is still on CSI. They brought her back for CSI Vegas. You know, it's probably easy money. I would imagine.
Yeah, she's working. She's making good money. Yeah, good for her. Yeah,
good for her. And so why are they torturing her, Eve?
They are torturing her in case there are other aliens that show up so that they can know how to kill them.
Yes.
Even though they're not really trying to kill Eve. And every time they torture her, she heals.
Yes, yes.
It's honestly kind of fuzzy to me because it seems like they're buddies with Eve. Like Eve seems like, but they're making her try to kill her. But Eve's kind of okay. Like it's really weird.
Well, they Eve is like extraterrestrial vulnerability experiment. That's why she's called Eve, which is hilarious.
Yes, and, which that is very funny. I honestly don't think they're actually trying to kill her or hurt her. I think it's a sex thing.
See, Dr. Baker.
It looks like it.
I love Eve's. So, like, there's no men allowed there. So, the generals and the colonels can't see Eve. And Eve is in this kind of dope ass, like, mid 90s glass apartment in this lab.
Yeah.
And she has, like, that looks like it was decorated by Spencer Gifts. Like, it has like, the bubble glass walls and, like, crazy color lighting, and she's just chilling watching Dukes of Hazzard and doing her nails. So kind of like me, I guess, minus the nails. So we get all that. There's a huge dump, exposition dump about why they're doing this. It's very, like you said, very vague and fuzzy. Cut back to the astronauts returning. They're getting the medical checkups. There's all these nurses want to break through the wall and fuck them.
Yeah, this is honestly one of my favorite things in the movie.
Okay.
Is the doctor puts them on a sexual quarantine.
Yes, because they might have space herpes.
Is that real?
I don't.
Is that a thing that like had happens that like they space travel, they come back, and they're not in a regular quarantine. It's a sexual quarantine.
Yeah,
they're allowed to do sex stuff.
Yeah, they can still they can go out, they can do stuff.
I don't think it's a real thing.
There's no real thing. Yeah, there's not
so
a real
this
thing.
Was made up for the film.
Made up for the film.
It is hilarious.
It is hilarious. And Gamble,
especially because they're all really upset about it. All three of them, even like all three of them want to be fucking. They don't want to be, you know, like hanging out and being celebrated for being the first three people on Mars. All three of them want to be fucking. And the doctor is even like, even you miss to the girl. Like, and she's like, oh, man.
No one asks, what about handies? Is that okay? Or,
oh, God. Like, No. It is not defined what a sexual quarantine is. It is just you're not allowed to do anything sexual, I believe.
Yes, like, I believe that is the limitation there. And this is when we first get, this is problematic portrayal of an African-American man, number one.
In that.
There's all these nurses. The camera cuts to a close-up of the one black nurse and then to a close-up to him because that's the one he can have sex with, apparently. And yes. He desperately wants to.
Yeah, and belief is expressed several times throughout the movie that the black man can only have sex with black women.
Yes, nobody else. And he really, 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 really wants to. Yeah. He really wants to. Like he really wants to. Like he keeps saying booty like all the time. And it's really bad. It's terrible. So yeah, they can't have sex for a week, but they gotta go to this special dinner because of they went Mars. And we meet astronaut Ross's dad.
Yeah, who is
fucking James goddamn Cromwell.
unbelievable.
How? How? With a ridiculous accent.
Incredible.
Yeah, like, this is after LA Confidential and Babe.
Yeah, it's so, a real, like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Like, it's like, he has that cameo. He has a, he's in that movie Erasure with Schwarzenegger, but he has one scene. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a cameo. Like, what's yeah. What he's in several scenes here. Like,
yeah, no, he's like a character. Like, he's a character. He has a lot of dialogue. He has one of the best lines of dialogue in the whole movie when he says to his son, "You keep your dick in your pants and your eye on the prize," which he says to his son.
But you can't do both. Yeah. Because his son is like immediately trying to get Nookie. Like,
yeah,
he's in a relationship. I don't know if he's married or not, but he's in a relationship with that one blonde.
It ends really? Badly.
Well, I think, well, that one girl, like, at the cabin later. That blonde, when things go really...
So that's actually a real relationship and not just another woman he picked up?
Well, because God, he's like, I want to slow things down. And he's like, I don't want, like, I know, you know.
Oh, so, okay, yeah. So that's probably his girlfriend or something.
A girlfriend, but he's already... But before he has to make a speech...
Yeah. He's already hooking up with someone.
He was on the red planet and he got blue balls. And yeah. he's, but he can't hook up at the speech because he has to go give his speech, which is terrible because he's an idiot. Just a complete idiot. And then this is why you're here. This is why is because I think of scenes like this. So they go to the hotel.
Is this the sisters?
Yeah, the sisters.
So he's like hooking up with this girl at the like fancy dinner they're throwing for him to celebrate that this football player turned astronaut, soon to be senator, went to Mars. And so he's like fooling around outside the dinner, and then he gets called back in, and then he like leaves to go meet her, and then it's her and her sister, and they're like rubbing each other's boobs in like floor length nightgowns, and they're like, "We're sisters and we like to share."
Homosexual. Has this ever happened?
Is incest hot to anyone? That is, I mean, it must be, right?
I mean, like, it is. It is. I mean, unfortunately.
Oh, God. Yeah. Weird, though.
And
I have, like, it's very funny. I have a reputation at Horror Club for showing people movies with incest in them.
Me too.
Oh, how did we get this reputation? And I didn't remember. I didn't remember I was doing that until. And so we were watching it, and I'm like, oh, well, I gave James an incest movie, I guess.
Hey, and I wanted to watch American Gothic, so.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like they, like, fuck together.
No.
It seems like he fucks one and the other one like rubs her boobs and watches, and then they like switch off, and then shit hits the fan, basically.
Yeah, before the shit hits the fan, I do want to say that kudos to Patrick for going back to back.
Yeah,
like, you know,
I mean,
impressive.
He gets it up again immediately.
Yeah. And
I mean, he got that alien in him.
yo baby, I got an alien in me. So he finishes with one, and clearly finishes because of what happens next, and starts to go to work with the other one. And so he goes to the bathroom, I guess, to wash up. And what happens?
And rubber boobs some more. Like, these two characters won't stop rubbing their boobs. I don't think women do. I mean, I like my boobs, but I don't like constantly like present and rub them in front of people.
Why not?
Maybe I should try. Maybe I'm missing out.
Yeah, maybe.
But okay. So she goes to the bathroom to like wash up and rub her boobs some more, while her other sister is having sex with Patrick, and then all of a sudden her belly starts to enlarge. as if she is pregnant, rapidly and painfully. And she screams. And as this is happening, Patrick starts growing alien tentacles that start poking the lady. And so she's screaming, everyone's screaming, and then her belly splits open in four like a flower, and a baby head comes out.
And while that happens, he is just going to town on her while she is screaming because she can see the tentacles. This scene, I found the making of. They built a life-size model of him
that was on
a pole, and they claimed that the pole was rubbing against the girl and turned her on. I don't believe them. That sounds like something a straight man
would say. That's a horrible thing for them to say.
Exactly.
Ooh, I'm so hot. That's
this pole rubbing against, like, yeah.
Somebody, that's somebody expressing their fantasy as reality, but that didn't happen.
But this this scene and another scene later remind me of an anime called Uro. I'm looking it up now. Urotsuki Doji, which is...
Okay.
Don't watch this. Anybody listening?
I'm too late. Already watching it right now.
No. as far as I know, it's one of the first tentacle rape animes.
Oh, okay. So this is Legend of the Overfiend in English.
Which I saw when I was like 13. It is disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, just the images I'm getting in Google image search are telling me a lot.
Yes.
I'm learning things.
Yes. So, the aesthetic of what happens to him, especially later, kind of mirrors that to me to the extent that, but this is a Geiger thing, because Geiger designed.
Geiger only designed the full body creatures towards the end.
Okay. So this
is
somebody
else's. Everything else was Steve Johnson.
Okay.
Who is best known for designing and creating Slimer.
I'm hanging my head.
Slimer now, from Ghostbusters. So everything that is not the two full-body aliens at the end was Steve Johnson trying to mimic H.R. Geiger's style. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. So it ends.
Yes.
So
that explains a few things too.
So yeah. So the implication here is that
the aesthetic of Slimer doing weird, sexy alien stuff
again. At the same time, this is happening. Eve is freaking out. Telepathically, remember?
Yeah.
She's watching baseball, and then it starts like rhythmically.
Like she basically just starts coming.
Yeah.
While she's watching baseball.
Yes. And they don't say it. They never say it. They're like, her rhythms are off the charts. It's like, no, she's
like something exciting must be happening in the game.
that chair is ruined. I don't know what's going on there. You cut back to Patrick. He has two, like, 7-year-old looking kids with him wearing potato sacks. Where the fuck does he get these potato sacks? And he's storing them in a barn.
Yeah.
But the implication is later he blacks all this out because he goes back to his dad. And that's when the dad says the line.
But that is when his dad says the line that I like about keep your dick in your pants and your eyes on the prize.
Yes.
So.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is basically Patrick becomes a serial killer at this point.
Yeah, but he doesn't know it yet.
Yeah, he blacks out every time that he picks up a lady and has murderous alien sex with her.
Yes.
And then she gets pregnant and her belly explodes.
Yes.
And. He becomes the male version of the Brood.
Oh, God, the Brood. I forgot about the Brood.
Yeah, because he starts having all these tiny little babies.
Yeah, so many.
They're like fully grown, like toddlers when they're born.
Yes, it's really creepy. Yeah.
And they follow him around.
They follow him around and they all kind of look like him. It's like, it's nasty.
It's the Brood.
Before we get to the Brood, though, does Patrick's blood kill somebody in a ridiculous scene?
Oh, my God. Yes, it's the scientist is like looking at his blood through a microscope and is like, what the fuck? And then it falls off the table and it's like stabs him through a wall. Like, what happens there? Like,
if the implication there is that every cell of this organism is a living thing. Like,
it's definitely a ripoff of The Thing.
Yeah, but if that's the case, you don't need to you can just cut yourself and put your blood in the water. Like,
it's a bad ripoff of The Thing.
Yeah. But before that doctor died, he called someone, and we'll get to that in a minute. But they find alien, Marge Heldenberger is like, there's alien DNA on the corpse, but it's not Eve. Another one out
there. Which means there's another alien.
Which means it's time for the return of
Michael Madsen, Alien Hunter.
Character name.
I don't know. John? I don't remember.
No. Press. Press.
Yeah, Press. Oh my God, Press.
Preston Press Lennox. One of the stupidest names of a character.
A horrible name for a boring, emotionless man.
Yeah, and like. Michael Madsen. So, okay, name a good Michael Madsen role that's not Tarantino.
Oh, yikes. Like off the top of my head, I don't think I can. Species. Like that's the only one I can think. Because at least he has some like personality in Species.
Yeah.
In Species 2, it's like they called him up and he was like, fine.
Donnie Brasco? Gosh.
Okay, yeah, Johnny. Yeah, he's done some gangster stuff.
Well, I'd say that's all he can do, right? But he's in.
Yeah, like, he doesn't have range.
He's always acting. He has over 300 credits. So it's just nonstop. And like
All his good stuff's Tarantino.
Yeah, and even then, like, he's not the most memorable thing in something like Kill Bill. Like, he's barely, his character's not that good in that. I mean, his defining role is Reservoir Dogs.
Yes.
He's fantastic in Reservoir Dogs. He's fantastic in that movie. You know, and then whenever we do see him in something and my boyfriend can't remember who he is, I say, Reservoir Dogs, ear. It's like, oh, yeah.
That guy.
And yeah, he is just sleepwalking through this role, like zero effort.
He does not want to be there.
Yeah, and apparently he is called this film shit, and
yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, but he's just, his character now is no longer like a government assassin. He owns some security firm for diplomats, and they're doing a presentation, and it's so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, he's supposed to be like private, like military kind of like for hire guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like nothing. And then he gets called back up and he's like, I'm not going back. No more aliens. And they're like, $1 million, no taxes. And he's like, okay, where do I sign? And I'm like, of course, $1 million, no taxes. What the fuck? How do you offer him that? That makes no sense.
Well, nothing makes sense here. And we left out that in the previous film, him and Laura hook up.
Yes.
But when
him and Laura hook up. And also, Syl cannot stand his testosterone man energy.
Yeah.
Like, he's so manly that, like, and the alien Syl just wants to bone him so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's totally like a big theme of the first movie.
Yeah.
Fuckable he is.
Oh, yeah.
We've all been there.
We've all been there with Michael Madsen, trust me. Like, I've been over that. I have an atypical type, but it is not Michael Madsen.
Mine is also not Michael Madsen. Whose type is Michael Madsen? Call us. We'd like to hear from you.
1-800-OBLIVIA. No. So he takes the job. He shows up at the lab, completely ignores the no male quarantine, just shows up.
No, and just walks right in. And then Eve, like, presses her whole body against the glass when she sees him, like, because she can't stand his male energy. And like, it's like, oh, I want to fuck him, but then immediately gets distracted because she's got like the psychic bond with Patrick. But like, it is so funny that they bring that back for just like a beat.
It's like that Sun Mix-a-Lot song, Put Him on a Glass.
It's exactly like that.
Same thing. That's what he was talking about. Laura and him have bad chemistry. I imagine that relationship lasted 5 minutes after the last movie ended. Like, they fucked because they were in a stressful situation together and found each other attractive. And then no relationship there. But they kind of, you know, I think one of the good things about the script is realistic. In a real situation, those two people will be like, okay, yeah, fine, let's work together because we have to. And that's the attitude they have here. They don't really like each other, but he respects her job, she respects his job. They can work together. So that, I'll give him credit. That's good writing. It's realistic writing, regardless. They go see Peter Boyle because the doctor who was killed called Peter Boyle before he died. Peter Boyle is like, those fossils from Mars are from another galaxy. They don't really explain how they know that. They say carbon dating, but they don't. The carbon dating could explain, okay, these fossils are older than Mars. They could explain that. They couldn't explain how they know what galaxy it came from.
I mean, nothing he says really makes sense. All the Mars stuff is really ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you know, the way he says it, you're kind of like, yeah, I understand why they locked him up. But they're like, this is all true.
Yes, this is all true. They locked him up. They locked him in a mental asylum to bury his beliefs because
his
also
Mars findings.
The implication here, I think, that the colonel, the big colonel with one eye, he knew this would happen. Kind of like the company in Alien.
Yeah.
Because like near the end of the film, he does not want to blow up Eve or Patrick. He wants something. I think they want a weapon.
Yeah.
So that's the implication here. So they had that to go on. They thought to understand, hey, maybe these astronauts who were on Mars have alien DNA. We have to find Sampas, Gamble, and Ross, which is my favorite progressive rock band. They go because they can fuck the human race into extinction.
Oh, yes. I forgot that line. That is also one of the best lines. Oh, man.
Yes, delivered with the gravitas of Get Me a Cheeseburger. Like, it is not by Michael Madsen. So first they try to find Patrick. They do that really lazy cross-cutting thing where you think they're going to the same house of the person's app, but surprise, he's not there.
Except it's a van, right?
No, that's later. That's much later. This is
okay.
First,
wow,
they
do that twice?
They do it twice. The second time, it did not fool me. So you cut to Patrick with this blonde girl. Patrick's is like, I don't know if I should do this. I feel kind of weird. She's like, no, let me take care of you. Head goes down, fade to black. And then we cut to Gamble. Gamble's about to get booty, as he says.
Yeah.
He's listening to Quiet Storm R&B and about to fuck on a boat. The FBI, the syllup of guns to stop him.
SWAT
and he's like,
team. Yeah.
He's like, damn it. I'm trying to get some action. Like, it's so. that man says, brother can't get no booty.
Yep.
I feel so bad for Williamson because
hey,
he was an
Oscar. He's having a good time.
He was an Oscar nominated actor. Brother can't get no booty.
And this is definitely below him.
No, this is below him. He was
at least he had fun.
At least he had fun. Not as fun as you not as much fun as you probably had when we find Sampas.
Oh my god.
Is this the standout scene for you? Is this the standout scene for you in the movie? With Sampas with the female astronaut.
No, the standout scene for me is the shotgun scene.
Okay.
But this is the best effect in the movie.
Okay, yeah. So
yeah.
Please explain.
So she does the pregnancy thing. So basically, okay, yeah. All like I said, all three astronauts are the horniest people on Earth.
Oh my god. Yes.
And all of them are breaking their sexual quarantine. No one respected it.
No, they waited. They did.
They
did.
They waited
their
2 days or whatever. Okay,
they waited
so their
2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But horniest people on earth. So she's getting it on with, I think it's her husband. Like, I think
it's
that's
her husband. She's married.
That's her husband. Yeah. So
I missed you.
While the other two are getting it on, so is she with her husband, having, you know, nice lovemaking.
Yes.
And then her stomach explodes.
Yes.
Also bursts open, like, with an explosive, like a flower. And a tentacle shoots out of it.
Oh my
God! And with like blood, and like it's honestly the best effect in the movie.
Oh, it's amazing.
It pins him to the wall and kills him.
Yeah.
But it's just like a very cool practical effect. There's a little bit of like VFX cleanup in it, but for the most part, it's fully practical.
Yeah,
and it looks awesome.
Yeah, it's a great effect. Like.
Yeah, my favorite part of the movie is actually a bad effect.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, which happens
very,
later.
Very soon. Yes. They rush in and they have like these spray things that aren't the spray things from later, but they spray. I think it somehow kills the alien. You don't know what it is. But shit has gone sour. Imagine that's the last thing you see alive is your uterus killing your husband. Like,
it's awesome.
It's the best way to go. And oh, it has that awesome. Amazing autopsy too.
Mm-hmm.
When that thing comes out of a mouth, and they use cut it. Yeah,
yeah, they do another thing, fake out where they steal another a scare sequence from The Thing where they're doing an autopsy on her and something springs out of her body.
Yes.
But it's very fast. Like it's a jump scare, but they just like swing a bone saw. And
it's cool though. I like it. It's a
really cool effect, but it is like the jump scare is cut short.
Yes. I think so.
Like they don't give it breathing room, but it looks awesome.
Yeah. It does look awesome.
So the effects in this movie are really cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, your favorite scene now, Patrick wakes up, his girlfriend's exploded, and his little kid there, and he's like, well, time for me to kill myself.
What a conclusion to draw.
He looks
at her, he looks at this child, and he goes, well, and then picks up a shotgun.
Well, no, first he puts on his uniform.
Oh, yes, he puts on his military uniform.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess he's also military. I don't know. This guy's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, are astronauts military?
This one is.
Okay. Yeah.
You know.
So he then takes a chair out onto his patio, like, because he's at like a cabin in the woods. So it's this beautiful scene. And he's got his chair and he sits on the chair, like back straight, like ready to go. And he puts the shotgun in his mouth. And for
Gamble's
some reason,
there. Gamble's
running. Just running up to the house. Why does he know where he is? I don't know.
Exactly.
Why is Gamble running up to him? Who knows? He blasts his head off. His whole head blows off.
Practical effect.
Yeah, head it explodes. Is a practical effect. It looks like the head explosion from Scanners. Honestly, it might be the same effect. Yeah, they recreated it.
Maybe then. So number one exploding head of all time is Scanners.
Yes.
Number two, probably I would go Chopping Mall.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then Dawn of the Dead, and then Maniac. Then probably this is a really good one. It's a good exploding head.
Yeah, I think it could be in the top 10 easily.
Yeah. It's a good exploding head. Yes.
It's a really good exploding head.
All downhill.
Downhill microseconds later.
Microseconds later. Because what happens microseconds? So,
this is my favorite part of this movie. Okay. So his head blows up, and then the camera starts spinning around him while his head grows back layer by layer. So first you get the muscles and the brain and the nerves, and then you get the skull and the skin, and then it stops spinning right on his face as the CGI turns back to his real face and his eyes open with like a orchestral note. It goes like boom.
And I think the implication here is now he's all alien.
He's like, full alien now. He's no longer man.
He's no longer fighting this problem. He has alien brain and alien dick.
Yes.
And the two are going to work together.
He's killed the last of his humanity.
Yes. Yeah. And Gamble sees this and pieces the fuck out.
Yes, and it is. It looks so silly.
Yeah, it's so
like
bad.
Bad, like Windows 95 graphics. Like it rules. I love it so much.
Yeah,
I actually filmed my TV screen when I was watching this. I filmed that sequence and posted it to my Instagram story, and I have been getting comments all day, people asking me what movie it is. Because no one can fathom its species 2.
It's the last one they would expect.
It's the last thing people would guess.
No one expects the species 2 Inquisition. Right. Patrick, with a new head, goes on the prowl. Goes to what I guess is Hooker Street. Starts picking up girls on the street. There's news that there's a serial killer because he's killing so many hookers.
Yes.
Goes to this hooker motel with like hookers outside each room.
Yes. And yeah.
So like
all very pretty and well put together.
Oh yeah, yeah. So okay, yeah. I don't want to make disparaging comments about sex workers.
No.
Okay. Odds are in the situation he's going to, I'm going to guess a lot of those so the alien needs non-sick humans, so they can't have any disease.
Yes. Yes.
Again.
This doesn't really track, honestly.
Doesn't really track, because especially this, like, I'm sure there are plenty of sex workers who have no problems, but he's going through them like water.
Yeah, and he's also picking them up from, like,
the skeeziest
the
places.
The street outside the shitty motel. Like,
yeah.
He's not like finding a call service and working with a mistress. Like
no.
He's just like finding them on the sidewalk. Like,
yeah. And they talk about that every so often Eve's rates go berserk. So like
yes.
Every time he's killing someone, Eve is like going to cloud nine.
Yes.
And then they start finding bodies. Also, Patrick at this point has like 30 kids in potato sacks in this shed. Again. So is the family a potato farm family? Is that where they get like, where is he finding all these potato sacks?
I don't know. I don't understand what that facility is. It's like a barn on his property.
Well, they explain later it's a barn on his dead mom's property. But
okay, yes, because they can't find him there dead mother's maiden name.
Yes. which is a great, wow. A great way to slide that in there. To
what
fix
a thing.
That.
Yeah.
Someone's like, that's a plot hole. And I'm like, no, it's not. I got an idea. So they keep finding all these bodies. And then, so they're like, somebody's like, we should send out Eve to find him. And everyone's like, that's a really, really bad idea. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Let's use a cyclotron to awaken her DNA, which is a sentence. Let's use science to science to science. It's so... And
yeah. Yeah.
So they... How would you describe that sequence? Like hooking up to a light?
Oh, my God. Yeah. They have her like on a table. They've got a whole bunch of like sensors on her, right? And they like, are they like shocking her? What is the?
Like, they're lasering the DNA out of her.
I don't know.
It's and she can see his mind, and so she starts telling them where he is. And
yes,
every once in a while you get a flash of It's Our Geiger Eve too, which
yes.
I love. I always want to see more of that.
Me too. Especially Eve. I mean, especially Syl. Honestly, like the Syl design is so good.
It's so good. Yes.
Yeah.
She finds Patrick in a supermarket
where he is on a he's on boxes of Wheaties, right?
Space O's.
Space. Oh my God. Space. A special new cereal called Space O's, and his face is on it, and it looks like a picture that they just took while he was already a serial killer.
Yeah.
And there's a woman there who's hot, and she recognizes him, and she's like, "Sign my cereal."
And I like
and then he sexually assaults her.
Yeah, I like to imagine that in the, if he wasn't being an alien, he would, Patrick's the kind of dumb shit that would still go to the supermarket and stand in front of his own cereal to get pussy.
I believe that too.
I totally believe that.
I also, like, he gives the speech at the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is the most he speaks.
Yeah, I will. He
like almost
talks,
everything else he says, open the door, is like open a few the door. Words or like grunts. Like he doesn't really speak again after that.
No. Yeah. Maybe that's for the best because of the script. Because like when Michael Madsen runs in, he runs in. Oh, so Gamble's helping him now. Him and Gamble are a team.
They've teamed up.
And Michael Madsen pulls a gun on a clerk and says, "Where's the cereal?" A little excessive.
But, oh, also in a scene before that, in the parking lot of the motel where he's been killing hookers, the proprietor of the motel is a gentleman in a wheelchair, and he makes a comment about guys coming and going, and then laughs at his own joke, and then Michael Madsen kicks his wheelchair and he just keeps rolling until the shot cuts. Like, you never see it. He never stops rolling. It just cuts.
To this day, he is still rolling. They say at night, if you listen quietly, if you listen carefully, you can hear the wheels go down the street. I want to wrap up here because we've been going for a while. So the implication here, so he realizes she's tapping in, no pun intended. So he figures out where she is. So he's staging this sexual assault so he can, they can find him, and he surrenders himself. At the same time, they try to find him fucking this girl in a van. And there's another van where teenagers are fucking, because teenagers love to fuck in vans and supermarket parking lots in broad daylight. And I hate to, this is, again, I don't want to make light of it, but imagine you're this woman. And so he gives up. He lets her go because he surrenders. So she knows nothing about the alien part. So this, for the rest of her life, she's going to have this story of the time the first man on Mars tried to rape her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping if she was running away, she saw the men with guns.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
But I think you go to therapy.
I hope you do.
Yeah, I think EMDR therapy.
Yeah, like, you need some help.
For trauma.
Serious trauma.
Like,
yeah.
This poor woman. Yeah. She just wanted to get her cereal signed.
Yeah. yeah. And another thing, like, Press pulls a gun on him and the guy, and Patrick surrenders. What does Press think he's going to do? Like,
I don't know.
This happens in a lot of movies like this, where they pull a gun on a monster that can't be killed. It's like...
Yes. Especially one that can't be killed by bullets.
Yeah. What are you going to use? Harsh language, to quote Hudson?
Yeah. I don't know. If we're going to really analyze it, maybe he was hoping that Patrick doesn't know that a gun can't kill him.
Maybe. Maybe.
But
yeah.
I think that I'm thinking more than anybody else did.
Oh, yeah. We're both thinking more than anybody else than we thought. So... They go back to the lab. Eve sees Patrick and just fucking is I have so many comments
she's
I can't
in heat.
Say. Yeah, thank you. She's in heat.
She's in full blown like heat. Like a
rubbing,
cat.
Yeah,
howling.
Like, a cat.
Like yes. Yeah.
She is pounding on the door. Let me out. Let me out. Let me out. Let me out. Patrick is like, let me in, let me in, let me in, let me in. I think they should have he sort of just came in there with a massive boner. Like, it's sort of invisible. Like, it'd be hilarious.
Yes.
They
it would have been also more accurate.
More accurate. It'd been there. Relatable content.
I mean, unless he's got, like, a micro penis. But
well, poor guy. That's why I had to go to Mars. overcompensating. And then Laura stops Patrick. Patrick tries to tongue fuck her with his space tongue.
This is also a really sick effect. It's like a fake tongue that splits open and then a mini tongue comes out. It's kind of like the alien with the little alien coming out of its mouth. Yeah. Honestly, again, it's another artist reinterpreting like what they think is Geiger-esque.
And killing. So Patrick gets away. They're all at the lab, and here's, okay, so back to Gamble. Okay, so Gamble, being the horny stereotype he is, makes a move on Eve because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Eve is in heat. Eve sees Gamble, looks at him, then gets a look of disgust and walks away. Now, first of all, the racial politics of that scene are fucked up. But secondly, yes, it turns out that the only black man in the film has sickle cell trait.
Yes. Yeah. And this is a major plot point, is he does not have sickle cell anemia, but he holds, his blood has the trait for it.
Now, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Which I am just like, couldn't they have come up with a better, like, couldn't they have come up with a worse diseased, like, more diseased blood to use
for
this?
Or just, like, so...
Yeah.
African Americans are more likely to get sickle cell. This is true.
Yes.
But...
Yes.
And, okay, if that was the only thing about this character that was stereotypically African American, then fine. But when
then
you
I
throw,
would forgive it, right?
Yeah, you
but
throw
they,
in
like,
everything else, and you're like, what
yeah.
the... I couldn't believe yeah. it. I was talking to Anthony Abbott, who's on the show last week,
yes.
about this movie off air. And I mentioned, I told him how stereotypical the character was. And I was like, you won't guess where they go with it. You'll never guess in a million years. And he's trying yeah. and he can't. Like, they gave him sickle cell. I'm like, those motherfuckers.
Yeah. But like, okay, so the reason this is important is he is the only one of the three astronauts that did not get taken over by an alien, right? And so they've been trying to figure it out this whole time. Mm-hmm. And so finally they figure it out because his blood has the trait for sickle cell.
Yes.
Like his DNA, his genetic buildup has that trait. Mm-hmm. Even though he does not have it, he has, you know, the genetic material for it. And for that reason, the alien has rejected him.
Yes.
So what they decide to do with that information is take his blood and make a potion out of it and spray it on aliens.
And that will somehow... So in the first film, and in...
Oh my God.
The alien yeah. doesn't want to be with anyone who has a genetic problem because it won't create, their language, a pure offspring. There's
yes.
nothing about it killing the alien.
No.
But now
it is
they
not
decided,
going to make them melt.
Now
but
they've
decided it will now.
It will kill the alien. So yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So they're going to...
Yeah.
So they start making this. They make a potion. The senator figures out what Patrick is. The senator's like, I'm going to take you to John Hopkins. They're going to cure you. He's killed.
He kills his dad.
Kills his
immediately.
Yes. With more potato sacks. Eve yeah. refuses to help Patrick, then find Patrick, and then Eve has had enough. Eve yeah. needs alien dick.
Yeah. She needs alien dick so bad she runs through a glass window.
Runs through a glass window. Thank you for the panty shot movie. Like,
it's kind of amazing. She and she actually did this effect herself.
Uh-huh.
So like Natasha Henrich, she like it was a you know, like a like sugar glass wall. Mm. She jumped through it.
It's a good of yeah.
And her dress flies up and you get to see her beautiful white panties.
Yes.
It's incredible.
This movie is anime.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they planned it. I think it was just perfect.
And they were like high five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we got
yeah.
a panty
they're
shot.
Like,
all right.
It's so good.
have you ever seen the movie CB4?
CB4? No, I don't think so.
CB4 is a like kind of like a Spinal Tap movie about rap music, but I don't think it's not a fake documentary.
Oh.
It's not a fake documentary, but it has Chris Rock in it. And there's a scene in that.
It's a mockumentary.
Okay, there's a scene in that movie where a guy's
yeah.
getting ready to have sex, and he's just on his exercise bike saying, "I'm gonna get me some pussy. I'm gonna get me some pussy. I'm gonna get me some pussy. I'm gonna get me some." It's the only scene I remember from the movie, and
yeah,
when I see Natasha Henrich just running out, like. In heat. That's the first thing that popped in my head was CB4.
That's very funny.
Yes. Of course.
But yeah. So she runs through the glass, starts running out of the compound. A bunch of men show up with machine guns and they just like, they gun her down. They just shoot the shit out of her.
But
and she falls down.
Yeah.
bleeding, and then immediately grows back and goes running again.
Yeah, because they can't kill her, because that's the point of the fucking... I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah. So she is off to find her mate.
Yes. He knows where he is. Yes. And
yeah. And how did they get there? How did they get to the barn?
Well, so they follow her.
Oh, okay.
She knows where he is because of telepathy.
Yeah.
Before we get there, Gamble and Press get their weapons. They make some penis jokes about small guns. Gamble gets a machete. What is do you remember what Gamble says here?
No, I do not.
I'm about to go back to Africa on someone's ass.
Oh my god. Yeah, they really developed his character.
And then when he starts they go to the barn. They start to spray the crystalline sacks to kill them. It doesn't seem
which
to...
the sacks are cool.
No,
so
they're
like,
really cool. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and this actually was the other... Like, that's when I'm reading about Species 2. This is what I was checking. So Geiger did the two full-body aliens, and then he also drew the designs for the child, like, chrysalises or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like the children throw up like tentacles into the rafters of the barn and like pull their bodies up and then turn into like cocoons almost.
Yeah, totally cool.
It's really cool.
The CG part's not cool, but the rest of it's pretty cool.
It's a very, very cool concept that was sketched out by Geiger, and I actually like have those sketches. But the the sketches actually came from a magazine called
Cinefestique,
which in May of 1998, they published about 18 pages of different articles and interviews on Species 2, primarily about the special effects.
Yeah, and I'm going to...
It is the most thorough coverage I have found on this movie. I don't think anyone in the history since this movie is now 26 years old. I wrote an article about this last year for its 25th anniversary.
Oh, okay.
And I found this magazine when you realize it's 25 years old, and I'm like, God, I'm old.
No, I was saying wow about you writing an article about it for its 25.
Wait, even better. It was commissioned. Someone came to me and asked me to write an article about
Species 2. We didn't talk. I need to get a connect somewhere to go on. Okay.
Yes. You can look it up. It is on, if you look up Species 2 Inverse is the website.
Okay.
I wrote like a 1,000-word piece on it.
Wow.
And this was like my main source of research was these 18 pages of Cinefestique.
Okay.
So I have shared that with you, and
I will put I'm gonna put that on Blue Sky, everyone.
I'm
on Blue Sky's Lost Turntable, just like Twitter. I'm not putting it on Twitter because I'm trying to cut down there. But yeah, go on Blue Sky. I will share some of those pictures, some of those articles. It was fascinating. It's like, again, I think Madeline, you like this film much more than me. I'm sorry.
I believe that.
Yes.
I could have told you that.
I enjoy
it. I like this film more than most people.
I gave it 3 stars. Like I gave Species 1 3 stars. I think they're both fine.
Yeah.
It's dumber than shit, though. But like, it is one of many films that has, it's not a great film, but the special effects are just fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm a real effects nerd.
Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So
they have some images of his drawings of like how they develop this thing with the kids, and the practical part is very cool. The drawings are very cool. The concept is very cool. It gets very CGI at a point, and it looks like shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like the aliens at the end of the film, where Syl and Eve and Patrick go full alien mode. The male alien is not that good looking.
I mean, when they first start hooking up and they're just having like sexy alien sex, they're both humanoid. And they're like in like a cool like lightning filled
cocoon,
bubble cocoon.
Yeah, it's cool.
And it's kind of cool. It's kind of hot. Like I'm like, okay, yeah, this is
I'm
erotica.
Turned on. Mm-hmm.
And then they get interrupted because the doctor and Michael Madsen and Gamble have finished spraying the children's sacks with their sickle
cell. Don't say children's sacks.
Hey, it's just like what Krampus carries around, a children's sack.
Go on.
So they finish spraying those down, and then they find them in the barn getting it on as like hot aliens. And because they get interrupted, he transforms into this more wolf-like creature.
It reminds me of the newborn in Alien Resurrection.
Yeah, actually.
It was bad.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a shitty, you know, those robots that like walk on their own that they've developed.
Yeah.
Like the Boston Tech, whatever. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, totally.
Yeah. Those like four-legged robots that walk. It looks kind of like that, but like with no balance.
Yeah, and it's
dreadlocks.
Yeah, and banana dreadlocks, and it's a bad look. And he starts to attack Eve more. Like, it becomes less consensual. And
yeah, Eve starts to fight him, and then it gets very suggestive and sexually explicit. This is the only part of the movie where I'm like, this is legitimately upsetting stuff.
So yeah, because he again, content warning, but again, it's about aliens. He rapes her.
Yeah.
With a tentacle dick that goes down her throat.
Yeah, that comes out of his mouth.
And goes down her throat.
But yeah, it's shot very sexually.
This reminded me of Orokotsudoki. Yeah. Orokotsudoki. It is very animal tentacle porn. It's like a La Blue Girl or any of that stuff. And it was gross, unneeded, in my opinion. I usually wouldn't laugh at a rape scene, but I did laugh at this because it's so stupid. Like, it's an alien.
I feel like I was more of a, oh dear God.
I mean, I laughed more out of shock again.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, again, it's not funny, but it is very bizarre and strange that they did that.
The fact that they did it is funny.
Yes. The fact that they came up with this and then they executed it in the way that they did, with the weird combination of practical effects and real effects, and then the three, you know, humans are just standing off on the side while this is going down, it is bizarre.
And then before they were spraying a special poison with Gamble's disease in it,
aren't there like samples of tumors and shit? Like, don't they have lab access? Why did they just like settle on using his sickle cell blood?
Well,
like,
then eventually, let's
go find a sample of AIDS or something. Like, I don't understand.
It's too topical.
And then they don't have any more of their spray potion. So
Gamble's like, use my blood.
So Michael Madsen, aka Press, picks up a fucking pitchfork and just fucking stabs him right in the thigh with it. I don't know why he does that.
And then he throws the blood and it instantly kills.
It begins to kill him. It hurts him, and so he starts stumbling towards them with his weird part computer balance, part, you know, robot. And because Michael Madsen has stabbed him with a pitchfork, he is profusely bleeding.
Yeah.
His whole leg is covered in blood. There's this giant puddle of blood now. And then the alien slips on it, falls in turns into slime.
Yeah, the end. And then we cut back to a dead Eve, and it gives us a full frontal of Eve's alien vagina. Oh,
it is a slow pan up her alien legs to her alien vagina, and then up her alien midsection right till we get to the boobs where Natasha Hendricks fades in, so you get to see her nipples, and then it pans up to her face. This is a slow pan. This shot 25
minutes
lasts,
I'm just kidding.
It's probably 1 minute long.
It's a long
pen.
It's a long pen.
Yeah.
And then, so everyone lives happily ever after. Gamble gets in a helicopter with who?
A hot black nurse.
A hot black nurse, because that's all Gamble wants in life. Like, I'm good now. You're here, honey. I was fighting aliens. God. My dick. The end. But what not the end, because the corpse of Eve is pregnant. There's also a, there's also, they kept one kid alive.
Yeah, he's just there for some reason. This,
because the colonel, the colonel wants them for the weapons.
Yeah,
you know,
make a weapon, make child weapons. Because I wonder if that gets picked up in the third one.
I think it does a little bit, because neither of us has watched third or four, because we both have better things to do.
Yeah, or five, which doesn't exist. No
doesn't exist. Don't look different. I do think it's interesting. Species 2 to 3 is very much like Friday the 13th 2 to 3. It ends with. Friday the 13th 2 ends with Jason in an ambulance.
Yeah.
And 3 picks up with him waking up and killing more people. So Species 3 ends with the baby waking up. But still, it is a direct continuation, like no time has passed.
Oh, damn. Now I want to watch it.
You report back. I am not going to watch it.
I'll let you know.
So,
yeah. Yeah, let me know about the next kickboxer. I'll let you know about this.
There we go. So, I want to cover a few more things really quick. But before I forget, I have to mention this movie fucking bombed.
Yes. Like, this movie lost money.
I want to mention the opening weekend, April 10th, 1998. Thank you, Box Office Mojo. Opened at number 4. With 7.2 million behind the 17th week of Titanic.
Yes.
The second week of Lost in Space.
Yikes, that's a terrible movie.
Oh, it's a fucking. I would say
this movie is better than Lost in Space.
I saw Lost in Space opening weekend. Oh, it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
Good soundtrack.
Yeah.
And number 1, City of Angels. The second week it fell to number 6. It was outgrossed by Pauly. The talking parrot movie.
I saw that in theaters.
Oh, fuck us both. The third week, it's out of the top. I do want to mention, though, the third week, it fell out of the top 10, but it still outgrossed that Tarzan movie of Casper Van Dien.
Well, that's good.
So that's good. So, yeah. And it was not screened for critics. But, Madeline, I want to rank this film. So let me send you my list. 1 second.
Okay.
And I think we're going to disagree.
While you're looking up your list, I will say I believe that Species 2 grossed about $9 million in total in its entire theatrical run. Species grossed about $90
million. Yeah, Species 2 grossed $19
million. 19, okay.
But still,
I knew there was a 9.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but definitely it was a bomb.
Huge
the reviews
bomb.
Were all extremely negative.
What few reviews there were.
No one went and saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I sent you the list. So in Facebook in Messenger.
Okay, let's.
So click on that. So
all right.
So Madeline, you know you have the most top 10 films on my list. You have Sorcerer is number 1, Alligator is number 3, Butcher Baker is number 4, Fangs is number 9. Okay, those are all Madeline specials. This is gonna go lower than that. Let's see. So I have 83 films. So the middle of that would be what, 42? So 42 is Gogol 13. This is worse than Gogol 13. I'm going to say it's worse than the original Firestarter. Is it worse than... Okay. It's better than The Visitor.
I mean, isn't The Visitor like right at the bottom?
Yeah.
yeah.
Is it okay? Okay, Madeline, what's a better film, Species 2 or Bloodbeat?
I would vote Species 2 is better than Bloodbeat. Mm. And you know how much I love Bloodbeat, but I have a hard time calling Bloodbeat good. Yeah. But, you know, if I ordered this, you know, like Ravenous would be in the top 5.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. So, like, it's hard for me to really judge.
I'm going to say. Oh, it's hard. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to say Species 2. I'm going to put Species 2. It's a weird spot. But I like it. I would say it's better than... I said really... I think I misjudged Seeds. I think Seeds are going to top 20, but too late. I'm going to say...
Can't change it now. Can't
change
it
now. No, it's on record. I can't change it. and the more movies I add, the less it matters. Species is going to be Species 2. I'm going to say it is 60. Is it better than Gone in 60 Seconds? 66.
I do kind of dig Gone in 60 Seconds.
The original, not the
original, okay. Not the remake. The remake's
it's the
good.
New number, yeah. 63. So
okay, I like that. Okay, so it's above Thrashin.
It's above Thrashin. In reality, if you'd ask me what should I watch, Seeds or Species, I'm gonna say Seeds 100% of the time. But Seeds, yeah, is not a good film. So just for some context.
Oh, Seeds is an incest movie.
Oh, it is the incest. It is the incest movie.
I'm watching Seeds.
Oh man. And you should save Seeds when you come to Japan and we can get wasted on,
okay,
Seeds.
Definitely. We can get drunk and watch incest films. And then I'll come back from Japan and my friends will be like, what did you do in Japan? Did you like it?
I just hung out at this dude's house and we watched a bunch of incest movies and got drunk. Yeah, good whiskey.
And they'd all be like, typical Madeline.
Oh, Madeline. But just for some context, Firestarter's 58. Terror of Business 59, Death Cheetahs is 60, Bay of Blood 61, then Gone 60 Seconds, this, Thrashing, Seeds, Bloodbeat, Natural Born Killers. So
I like that. I feel comfortable with that.
Okay, there, yeah, you go. Yeah. So that now, yeah, is 84. I'll add it later. 84 films on the list. Really quick, we're going long, but Madeline, are there any other unfairly maligned sequels? Because this is, this is two in a row I've done, and I'm kind of interested, yeah, now in. I might make this a recurring thing on the podcast to try to find somebody who loves a maligned film or,
yeah,
hates a beloved film.
Yeah.
To get their opinion. I mean, can you think of any other unfairly maligned sequels?
Gosh, I mean, probably The Fly 2.
Okay. You like The Fly 2?
Yeah, but it's been a very, yeah, long time since I've seen it. I kind of remember it being kind of similar to Species 2.
I think it is. Yeah. I haven't seen it. I own it, but I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think of other, like, I mean, Hellraiser 2 is a banger. Everyone knows that.
I still haven't seen that. I hear good things. Yeah.
Oh, it's good. It potentially is better than Hellraiser. Even. Mm. Which that's like a
bold,
really strong.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah. Mm. I think I'll have to think about that. Okay. But my knee jerk answer was The Fly 2.
That's a good,
like,
answer.
Looking at I know you can see me right now, and I'm just like rolling backwards and like leaning out of frame. Looking at my DVDs.
I assume that's what you were doing. I'm a big fan
around 400 or 500 DVDs and my Blu-rays are in the other room, except for the stack.
So, mine are in different rooms, so I can't look
right here. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of Predator 2. I like Predator 2.
Yes. Predator 2 is... People like Predator 2.
No, people hate that movie.
Like, oh, I guess like everyone... Well, when it came out, everyone I know was like a child. So
yeah, I mean,
it,
yeah, I mean,
children.
It has problems, yeah, but I like it. I like Alien 3, mm-hmm, but it has problems, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
I always say, yeah, Alien 3 is a great film, but a terrible sequel to Aliens.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going in sequels that are past the second edition in a franchise,
oh, please.
Final Destination 3 is the best Final Destination,
okay,
film. I stand by that. Yeah.
But it doesn't have the truck scene, so the highway,
no,
scene.
No, that's in 2.
Yeah,
yeah.
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 Yes.
But 2 gets too like tied up in lore that doesn't make sense. 3, they like throw that all in the trash. They're like, let's do Rube Goldberg machines, and
I mean,
that's it.
Psycho 2 is a great movie, too. Also underrated.
I've never seen it. I've covered it
on the podcast. Psycho 2 and 3 are great.
Yeah.
Psycho 2 and 3 are, yeah, great movies. Psycho 2 is the highest rated sequel on my list.
How interesting.
Beating Revenge of the Ninja, also a great sequel. So yeah, I want to see Alligator 2, although I bet it's terrible.
Oh, what about Freeway 2?
I've never seen Freeway.
Okay. We should watch Freeway and Freeway 2.
I know. I own Freeway in 4K, but I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah,
I've heard,
yeah,
very bad things about Freeway 2.
Yes, they're. I don't think they're very similar, and it's Natasha Lyonne, right?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
So it's another Natasha-based sequel.
Okay, and I love Natasha Lyonne. Watch Poker Face. So okay, well,
yeah,
that's good. Well, I'm glad we talked about that, but we should wrap it up. So
yes. I mean, we'll just keep doing this for like another hour.
Yeah, yeah.
We just like keep naming,
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
Like...
So Madeline, stop looking at movies.
Yeah.
Look at me. Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm back.
Where can people find you on the internet?
I am easy to find. I mean, I honestly recommend following me on Letterboxd.
Me too.
I am DVD box set. Mm-hmm. So DVD box set, like a box set of DVDs.
Yes.
My name came from when I was in high school. I collected all the X-Files DVD box sets and I needed to change my AOL Instant Messenger username. Mm-hmm. And I changed it to DVD box set. So I have had that name since 2002.
I will not share my AOL screen name because if you type it in, I can find
it's just incest porn.
No, I find. So... let's see if I type in. Okay, I'm gonna tell you. Okay, so oh wow, so I have my IMDb reviews. Mm-hmm. That I used to write, which started in 98 and ended in 99, to tell you how far back that goes. And me complaining about lag on Unreal on the Beyond Unreal forums in 1999. Those are still active. So that's, I'm not going to share that name. I don't want people to know my reviews of those movies. Anyway, you can find me as Lost Turntable on everything. I'm writing again on Ko-Fi. So I wrote recently about David Lee Roth's Greatest Hits album, which is a great record. And I also wrote recently about playing Rock Band and DDR again for the first time in like a decade.
Yeah.
My hand hurt and my knees hurt. But anyway.
You ever play Beat Saber?
I do. I had to quit playing VR because it hurt my neck.
Okay.
But Beat Saber is great. Yeah. But no, I'm DDR
Beat
all
Saber's
the way.
Beat Saber's like my thing.
DDR my is thing. My life. I can play Dance Dance Evolution until my knees bleed. I fucking love that shit. And I've lost 20 pounds. So anyway, Lost Turntable everywhere. Madeline, thank you for discussing this stupid, stupid Gooby movie. Also, everybody,
thank you for having me.
If you do want to watch Species 2 in glorious 4K, wait like a month or two because South Factory is putting this fucker out in 4K.
I'm gonna buy it.
You watch Alien Dicks in 4K. So, next episode will probably be in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It will most likely be with Norm from A Question of Character. We will be discussing the film Action USA, which if you haven't seen, Madeline's. Oh,
no.
No, okay.
I thought I owned it. I own Invasion USA on VHS.
Also a good
Action
film.
USA.
Also a good film.
Yeah.
Okay, but until then, take care.